Your countdown clock has now terminated function. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up.
Right now, having a national security scare is actually good political news for the president and the White House and the Republican Party.
Warning, you will be bombed by
CCTV. But the problem today is that the situation is so large and so all-encompassing that whatever is going to happen, the whole world is going to feel it. Everything. Everyone's going to feel this one.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
When 9/11 happened, we knew about it. When we went to Iraq, the American people knew about it. When we struck out against Russia via Georgia, the rest of the world watched the Olympics. I'm coming to you live on the 13th day of August, 2008. 5 days ago, the beginning of World War III began. While most Americans, Chinese, Russians, don't know all the facts, the reality is we're being divided against one another by countries. You can see it today in the Olympics. Competitive spirit pushed to a warlike dimension where people are obsessed with national pride across the board in every country. And it's not by accident. You know, I've seen a lot of things manifest in the news over the course of the last week. Most of the American media has seen one version of events that says that Russia has invaded Georgia and is guilty of ethnic cleansing, which may be true. I don't necessarily believe either media. I think both of them are engaged in propaganda. I think there's a bit of staging behind much of what we're seeing. But what I'm also seeing is a lack of coverage as to what happened in Ossetia, South Ossetia. North Ossetia is in Russia. And there's a lot of really bad things that have happened in the last 5 days. We're talking about ethnic cleansing that's been sanctioned by the U.S. government. And they've given them, along with Israel, billions in aid since 1994. You take a look at all these regions, all these conflicts, and you also see many themes popping up, the things that happened to the refugees, things like human trafficking. Take a look at what happened in Kosovo. Take a look at what happened back in Chechnya, what happened with the Serbs. But dangerous situation. Because we are in danger now as a nation. And it's very, very frightening to see where they've pushed this. We have a food crisis situation, not because we're running out of food, but because of inflation. You take a look at Haiti today, and they actually cannot afford to feed themselves, so they're eating edible dirt. And a lot of people that are selling these edible cookies, a mixture of salt, water, and edible clay, want to make sure they can keep the prices down, because the cost is even going up for the raw edible clay. Even that itself is in jeopardy. Now you look at the United States today and what's happening with the global economy and the problems that we're seeing around us. Now, right now, the dollar, they say, is... Oh, my God. My laptop will not boot back up, Glenn. Tell Crystal Darris to tell Darris that my computer is totally... Just to mention it. So, yeah, I'm still having some of the laptop issues. And if you'd like to help with that, it's badly needed at this time for us to fix some of these computer difficulties. It's absolutely ridiculous that there isn't any assistance in that area. Any used computers, anything of that nature, we do need that help. Now, some of the things that I was mentioning pertain to the propaganda being perpetrated on both sides. Is that it's so crazy that people don't even know exactly what's happening. Now, we have the Internet, the World Wide Web, at our fingertips. So at the moment, we have a little bit of a different piece of information we can look at. We can look at the Russian media and their coverage. We can take a look at what China's saying, what Iran is saying, but that's only because we have the World Wide Web. In an economic crash where we have some sort of an attack to the web, maybe from another country, or a takedown or transfer of it to Internet 1 to Internet, from Internet 1 to Internet 2, that free flow of information as we have it right now is not going to be available. the chaos that looking to unleash is also a major state of confusion when we actually don't know what's happening on the other side of the globe. No clue whatsoever. And so what I'm hoping we can do is, in the next couple of weeks, a lot of us reach out to our family members, our loved ones, try to get them to see that, you know, something very dangerous is being set up for the continent of America right now. And a lot of people are going, well, there's nothing I can do about it. There's no way I can stop it. I don't even know where to begin. You know, I just don't want to feel the pain anymore. I don't trust the news. I don't trust the things I'm seeing on the television set. I'm just going to drop out. Wow, this laptop's really going crazy. There's all kinds of stuff just popped up on the screen. System 2 down, and then it just kind of starts rebooting. All right, so I guess it's going to be a long, long time before AlexAnsory.com is updated and there's some new shows because this is I haven't seen this laptop do this yet. And I can't get on the computer right now. And so, yeah, not good. Yeah, I don't know what the future is going to be for our broadcasting, whether it be We the People Radio Network. We have issues here. There are issues on the computer, the Air Force looking to dominate the web. You know, the old way of doing things is ending in this electronic medium. But we don't really know why we're having so many technical difficulties. Some of us, you know, are operating on a shoestring budget. So it's very, very difficult. But at the same time, it certainly isn't about you, me, or this show. It's about just kind of the general breakdown that we're seeing across the board in the United States. And when you look at how much food is being shipped out of the country today, to places like Japan, all the grain silos they've bought, in just the last year, it's frightening. Because you see that we are going to be the breadbasket for the rest of the world, the producing nation. The tables have been turned, the power is shifting, and it's all by design. They run around like a big accident. Hatred being built up against other countries. We're seeing it right now where the U.S. is going to play the bad cop in this World War III scenario, where there's going to be a coalition of multiple nations being brought out to face us. And the old boys down at the corner, down at the coffee shop, with the Bush Cheney 04 sticker still on their SUV, these are the people that are going to be going really, really mad. All right, we're going to take some phone calls. If our producer is still there listening, we're going to have him manually bring them up if they call in today because the computer's down and maybe permanently. Ironically, the moment we begin to do the show. 512-646-1984. I called into the Jack Blood Show today and traded some information with him and also called Mark Kornke's show. And he had quite a bit to say about the Chinese bases that are here. And one of the points that he brought up was about the North American Union. A lot of us have been talking about the Chinese goods coming in the country and with, you know, this country being groomed to be the breadbasket for the rest of the world and the growing Asian countries and India and some of the others and the rich Arab countries, the growing economic status of the Russians. They happen to like their enslavement. As long as they're economically prospering, they're willing to keep their mouth shut. When you see all this stuff and you look at the freeway, the corridor, it mirrors history in old times where food and things of that nature were shipped out through the railroads like we saw in Germany. So it's not just a matter of things coming in, but things being pushed out. But then you look around and you're seeing a lot of madness in your own community, your own neighborhoods, and you're wondering why it's there, why there's so much imbalance between men and women. The violence you hear on the streets, the sirens that just never seem to end down the street, always chaos, always a cop and a robber playing the Matrix-like game and the eye in the sky watching us all. Something's got to change. And one of the worst nightmares I think we all hold in our hearts is that nothing's going to change in 2012. These things are just going to continue and continue and continue until they integrate some of us into the beast system and literally dispose of the rest of us, the bulk of the population. Now we're seeing reports come out about Arkansas being put under martial law. Now we're seeing reports come out about quarantine entire major cities in case of a bird flu outbreak. And, you know, they even put that in the movies. It's part of their predictive programming they put out there in Hollywood and made-for-TV movies to where you see it on the big screen on the TV, and you get used to it. It's almost entertaining. And the good guy is actually the guy that in reality is trying to kill you, trying to hurt you. The same people that are robbing us of our farmland, the old way of life, pushing us into the big city for a reason that we don't fully understand. So there's going to be a lot of changes. Some of the predictions that we're already seeing is that we could see the economy completely tank by September or the end of the year, followed by a martial law scenario. There are too many practice drills, and they're even doing this in Georgia. You see, back in 2007, they were already engaged in martial law using Raytheon's pain ray gun, the non-lethal weaponry, the electromagnetic weapons, on demonstrators, courtesy of the U.S. government, this technology being made in Northern California. With people in our backyard saying there's nothing dangerous about the society we're in today, and we're not going to be a target. The wars are always going to be fought over there, and they're never going to be experienced here. And you look around, you realize when you find out about the human trafficking, the sex slavery, and how global it really is, and what happened after the fall of the Soviet Union. You begin to see this weird nature of apathy with men and women in our own country. Hey, I don't want to look at that. That upsets me. That's too painful. Looks like the laptop's actually booting up now. It's saying welcome. Welcome to the world of Microsoft. You are being watched. But back to the subject. As long as it doesn't affect me and I feel good and I can still reap the benefits of globalization through my organic products that I can get at Whole Foods, as long as I don't have to think about this economy being propped up, everything's just going to be fine. But the reality is everything's not going to be just fine. What I want to do is provide you with a certain amount of hope without pushing you towards a militia group or hatred or more fear. There's something that we have to understand about this crisis that we're in when these events take place on certain dates, like 8-8-8, and to see the holographic image come up of the Olympics where they simulate fireworks going off, courtesy of NBC, which is becoming more ingrained in the Chinese society, more ingrained in even the surveillance society apparatus. NBC, General Electric, the what was, we thought, the American military-industrial complex really being truly global with their new friends in China. Again, lots of food is going to continue to roll out of the United States through Portland. Our mayor here, Mr. Tom Potter, was in China about a month ago. Who knows what they were talking about? We do know that there was some sort of a discussion pertaining to trade. We also know that we had Top Off 4 here in October of 2007, which ran concurrent to Vigilant Shield 08, which was a military exercise in aerospace simulating a war with China and Russia. So it wasn't any surprise to me that, you know, they want to keep the focus on Al-Qaeda and dirty bombs, and I'm there asking them very basic questions about why you're running a combination of drills. And this all takes place about a month after the Russians and Chinese team up to hold a drill on Russian soil. So most Americans don't know where Georgia is on a map. You say Georgia, and they're trying to figure out exactly where that is in the South. They don't know that SCO stands for the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which isn't so much a counterbalance to NATO, but their own little setup, their own little entity that could be used as a reaction to a strike on Iran, which I'm being told, it is being reported, that they've sent out more ships than they've ever sent out before. It's the biggest since 1991, Gulf War I and II. I'm hearing a lot of rumors about Iran saying that they have a special surprise waiting for the Western powers if they launch an attack. It appears that there is an attempted blockade in the works. This is also taking place as Georgia attempts to join NATO and perhaps allow the United States to place a missile defense shield on their soil as well, pointed in the direction of Russia, which is saying at this time that they're going to add a missile defense shield of their own in Cuba. So this is phenomenal. This is astronomical. But it also seems like they are fiddling behind the scenes. They're laughing behind the scenes. You're seeing Putin and Bush sitting together at a table during the Olympics. And you're seeing the warlike nature coming out even in the Olympics and some of the slow-motion freeze frames of the competitors, extremely aggressive with their flags all around them, all about who's going to be the best and who's going to dominate who. So this is getting really, really weird. I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of things they're using to distract people, which you've already seen John Edwards having sort of a extramarital affair. I've never yet clicked on the article, nor do I even want to read it. I guess there's other things that are distracting the news, but mind you, much of this went on as Congress was on vacation, and Obama was likely being worshipped, his shirtless chest before millions of slaves being worshipped like a king, a god, perhaps, on Mount Hawaii. He was in Hawaii, actually. He's probably having the time of his life. He has issued a statement, though, saying that he believes that Russia has to respect Georgian independence. And there's a lot of confusion right now as to who is what is actually going on with Russia moving forward towards the capital of Georgia. We're getting reports that they said there was going to be a ceasefire, and then the U.S. is saying that the ceasefire is being ignored, and they're still continuing to bomb, pillage, and commit their own acts of ethnic genocide. And so the latest development is that Russia's saying no, they're actually totally lying. And moving forward, we're saying that nuclear options, a nuclear response, a thermonuclear war is not off the table in terms of their strained relations to the United States. And so all these things are just going to continue to build and build and build and build. We'll be back with more after this break. Our number is 512-646-1984. My laptop's back on. Let's go ahead and see if the internet connection will work at this time.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
So there's a few of us here at Laughing Horse Bookstore in Portland, and I want to say that we're having some discussions about Friday, me and one other person, about putting some signs together and going down to either Pioneer Courthouse Square at noon on Friday, or maybe meeting at the North Park blocks. Anyway, I should probably figure out where before the show's out, so I can mention that and also mention that Thursday. At least get a group of about 10 to 15 people together, because there's a lot of people walking around that don't know that this took place. It's being done in our name, and there's a couple other facts I'm going to let you know about. So that's what I'm thinking of doing, and it also would be recommended that people go to their town halls, that go to City Hall, talk to the mayor, talk to people early in the morning on a Wednesday. It doesn't matter whether you're in Portland, Seattle, or Los Angeles, or San Francisco. People start having discussions about the threat we're under and how we've been set up by something that's taking control of our nation. I'm not convinced it's Bush. You know, Bush is definitely clearly working for something. We know that. Someone else. We're just trying to figure out who. Now, Queen Beatrix and Queen in England, their names are coming up in terms of this pipeline over there in Georgia. And the ownership of it, some of the other international interests, the global bankers in this region, and the whole game of starting global conflict. And I'm telling you, this is looking a lot like how World War I started over a small region, ethnic conflict, and World War II. And you're also seeing a lot of financial maneuvering and oppressions and revolutions taking place as there were at that time. So we're in a cycle of time. Ossetia is 90% Russian in this area that was attacked.
couldn't think of something to say. I needed, like, take a breath from my voice. I don't know. All right, well, we're going to be here for another 38 minutes. I'm going to ask the producer to listen for any phone calls coming in, and we're going to see if we have anyone else with anything to say about the concept of World War III. Anyone out there. And we're going to see if you have any opinions. Now, hey, Glenn, tell us about Laughing Horse Bookstore and tell us about the future of it. And this is a place we've been meeting every now and then, but I heard it may be under danger from having to close.
Well, like every independent bookstore in the United States, it's under terrible pressure from the oligopolies, the Amazon books and Borders and et cetera, et cetera. We think we're going to be able to pay the rent for the next several months. We hope this continues. It seems every time we get to the wall, somebody gives us a benefit and we're all right. Our collective was formed in 1985. One of the founders is Tim Calvert, who is still with us. It's a store that caters to radicals and anarchists and anti-fascists and some limited range of occultists, people interested in real history as contrasted to popular history. And the store is also, is and always has been, specifically dedicated to getting out the truth about 9/11, whatever that turns out to be. We also work, we have a friendly relationship with the broadcast radio station, celebrating its 40th anniversary down the street, KBOO. And we have a representative here from KBOO, Mr. Richard Francis. He is running 101 hours of Dada Surrealism, much of it live. He will explain better than I can, but it's an outgrowth of the heart. The Dada began around the First World War, and it's an outgrowth of the horrors and the despair and all of those things. Nothing matters. Now, here's Richard. And
thank you,
and yeah, thank me. Thank me. And here's Richard, right?
He's much better at this than me, I think.
It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
All right, we're back. We're going to be with you for the next, I think we have about a half hour left. Any phone calls that come in? Okay, so I'm going to be doing a special on this on the TV show I do, and I'm going to try to get to update my website as soon as I can to have some of the latest news, and I may be up later tonight trying to update my site. It's been some time. I spent more time in nature, more time writing, more time thinking about other things, but it is time to get serious and awaken people that 888 in many ways is bigger than 911. And so with that, there's someone that did come down from the local radio station and wanted to say a couple words about this. And I'm going to get the phone back to him. And, yeah, yes, his name is Richard.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know exactly where I got, what got on or what got off. I was talking to a World War I veteran who had told me that he didn't know which was worse, the wounds that he had suffered from a mustard gas attack or the knowledge that a human being was capable of making weapons like that. And the one of the strong things that comes out of Dada and surrealism is that awareness of this was the first war that had mass casualties, that had weapons that could slaughter large amounts of people. And this was also the first war where they saw mental damage, which then they called shell shock. And in fact, one of the people who was central to the movement of Dada and especially surrealism was André Breton, who was working as a nurse during World War I and treating people who were suffering mental brain wounds and from shell shock. And if you look at a lot of the Dada and surrealist art, you can see war happening in them. For instance, the exquisite corpse, the illustration that we're using on our poster, in one way it's a very inventive thing. In another way, it looks like a mutilated body on a battlefield. And it's really rather difficult to escape that once you start seeing some of the connections. It's Dada and surrealism is a reaction to the horror and an attempt to deal with, I think, the sense that they suddenly realized that humanity's capacity for fear and irrationality and violence was a tremendously unconscious force that existed below the surface of this very genteel civilization that they felt that they had created around the turn of the century. And so I think for a great many artists, there was this suspicion that the irrationality of humanity had sort of snuck up behind them and bit them on the ass and caught them unprepared. And so with a great deal of Dada and surrealism, what you see is an attempt to scrape away the surface consciousness, the surface understandings, the surface conditioning that we call consciousness, and get at some of the stuff that's underneath and try to understand it a little better, to try and understand some of the more dangerous impulses, and also to try, some of them were really looking for a very mystical approach, much the way I, as a Buddhist, would approach the conscious mind in meditation, seeing that is something that I wanted to get past or get underneath and find out what goes on beneath. One of the things that I find kind of interesting is because they were so opposed to any sort of spiritual practice or religion, with good reason, I think, was that they didn't have any of the safeguards that can kind of protect you from the nihilism that can happen when you start exploring like that. And quite a few Dadas did just disappear or commit suicide or run off. What we're trying to do with this festival is really bring that consciousness forward. And this time, as in 2001, when I've got people coming in and doing readings of poetry that they like, as they get deeper and deeper into the poems, they suddenly realize what this stuff is actually about. And this time, as in 2001, I'm having quite a few people who will suddenly break down sobbing when they suddenly realize what this poetry is saying. So it's really an attempt to slap people around a little bit and wake them up artistically. And I remember in 2001, one of the great joys for me was the second day I had one of my neighbors come over and knock on my door and say that he had been listening to the programming since the very beginning, and that sometime the night before his brain had stopped working, and it was still not working the next day, and so he wanted to come over and thank me for the vacation. But I think more than that vacation from consciousness, it's really an attempt to get at the feelings underneath and that raw sense of horror of what people are capable of and trying to get an understanding of it and protect ourselves a little bit better. And also to be aware, very much aware, and I think this comes through very much in Dada, the way our culture is designed to make us not think, to make us be stupid, to make us give in, and to make us follow orders. And Dada is in a direct assault on all of that very much. So is that kind of what you guys were looking for me to talk about? Oh, yeah, you can hear it. Yes, and you can hear it. We'll be streaming on the web as well. www.kboo.fm, 90.7 FM here in Portland. It'll start on August 27th, which is a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're going to be doing a cabaret, which will be recreating a lot of the acts that were performed in the 1917s in Club Dada and Cabaret Voltaire in Zurich and Berlin. And then we're just going to cut loose from there and go on for 101 hours until midnight, Sunday night, the 31st. And it will be going continuously. And we've got about 75 people that are signed up onto our website who are producers in some way, who represent a lot of other people. So tonight I ended up estimating that we've probably got about 250 people involved, all total in this festival, that are contributing things. And I just found out last week one of our contributors from Poland. We've got a guy from Kansas. We've got somebody from Northern Washington. We've got somebody from Delaware. So we just got our poster done, and I'm going to send out an email asking everybody to send me their addresses, and then I can send them the poster, and then I can find out where everybody is from and see what all we've got. The contribution from Poland is just, that was a joy to find out something was coming in from Poland. Anyway, that's, I guess, all I have to say. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Well, I guess what I will add to that as well is the concept of it being very surreal, the fact that we're living in a giant bubble, that a lot of people don't know that some of these things are actually happening, and there's a desensitization process taking place. with the war machine, with all this rage being engineered at different groups over who their local media is telling them is to cause the problems that they're facing. And, you know, it's really interesting because I think all our countries are more alike than we think, China, Russia, the U.S., even India. We all have, like, our own little little style of social engineering that we're being subjected to. I definitely think the Russians have their own system. We have our system, and so does China. But when it even comes to mind control, subliminals, things of that nature, that's been around for many decades in each one of these countries. Nick Begich talks about how he used to beam some sort of a message from some sort of a tower it was, and all these different construction people would come to the center of the town with cake. I know that sounds kind of crazy and insane, but go ahead and take a look at some of the research of Nick Begich. He wrote the book Angels Don't Play This Harp. And then think about, that was the 1970s, and that was Russia. Think about America in the year 2008, the world of cell phones and the world of invasive of your mind advertising. You know, you walk by a certain billboard or advertisement in the middle of New York City, and it's telling you about some new program that's going to be coming on the Discovery Channel about ghosts. So you hear a voice inside your head, hey, you, turn around. And you turn around, and, you know, it's this advertisement for the show. You're going, oh, my God, and this is just what the advertisers have? What do the military have in their possession? All right, Archie, did you have something to say? Go ahead.
If you hear some music, they're going to a break. Okay, I was making some notes because it's easier. Hello, I asked Alex once this question. Of the news you cover, what do you say to people who find it overwhelming or that it's too much? And then I would add to that, for me, I mean, my focus is primarily the arts. I produce an arts show. But how, of the news Alex covers, how does it affect me? Well, as you said, we don't live in a bubble. We like to think that we do, but decisions and actions made locally and globally do have effects, locally and globally. I mean, look at the gas crisis. You want something a direct effect upon just almost everyone's life and the food prices. So to ignore what's happening in the rest of the world as if it doesn't personally affect you, well, it does. You know, in some way, many of the things that happen in the world are decisions made by governments and actions taken by those governments do affect you. And to not pay attention to that, you know, you wake up, oops, you know, don't wait for the front page to find out what's happening. Go to the alternative media. Big media is like fast food for the brain. It discourages deeper thought. A lot of times people look at it, they hear something that was reported 2 or 3 days ago, and they call that old news. It's because the newspaper is dated two or three days from the current one. So it's not old news, and it's your responsibility to know what's going on in your life and to know what's
online and on demand. This is We the People Radio Network.
In this last segment here, again, we're going to end it early tonight, then we'll go to the last hour of the last show. We did a 2-hour show last Wednesday. We'll be back next Wednesday, hopefully without any issues. But hopefully by next week, if you go to alexhansery.com, we'll have a full report of the what I'll call the Russian and American invasion of this region, which is kind of a unique statement to make. But I think there's a lot of agreements that are being made behind the scenes that we don't know about. Now, I do have a couple things that I want to bring up pertaining to all the money. You're looking at about $1 billion or $2 billion to accumulate all the aid coming from Israel and the United States to this region. Human trafficking. I don't know how much of it is going on. I can tell you that, at least from the Russian media, there's stories about Georgian soldiers that have been engaged in kidnapping women. That has been seen, and there's been a lot of situations where, you know, a lot of men, young men, in this region, this break-off region of Georgia, that were too busy fighting to the point where they couldn't even protect their own elderly, their own grandparents, their own women, to where Georgian troops came in and threw hand grenades down into basements, blowing people up. Now, again, both sides are blaming the other one, saying the other one is engaged in it. I mean, who's to say they're both not engaged at the same time? Let's see. For the most part, though, Georgia, not Russia, started the war. But maybe all this was planned to get Georgia to level out this area so they can get their pipeline through. The Georgia Army, commanded by the Minister of Defense, who was also an Israeli citizen, launched a surprise invasion and attack that caused the death of at least 1,000 people in its first 24 hours. And again, it was committed while the attention of the world was on the Olympics. Georgia has made repeated efforts to ethnically cleanse the region. Russian peacekeeping troops have been in Ossetia for years and were approved in international agreements so as to protect the citizens of the region from attacks by the Georgian military. Meanwhile, the largest naval deployment since 1991 heads for the Persian Gulf. Now, in the wake of Georgia's military invasion and massacres, again, Russia responded by pouring in hundreds of tanks into the region, along with infantry and aerial attacks. You also have about a total of 42,000 people that fled from South Odessa and about 56,000 Georgians that fled from the Russians. So, again, we have both major parties, both major countries involved in removing people from their land. Instead of reporting these cold, hard facts to the world, though, our Western media has been dishonestly reporting that the Georgia Army is a victim of Russian aggression and a Russian invasion. Georgia invaded, bombed, and massacred the people of Ossetia to start the conflict. Instead of condemning Georgia from the outset of the invasion, Bush is condemning Russia and attempting to move America and Europe towards a completely unjustified conflict with Russia. You got the Missile Defense Shield in the Czech Republic and Poland. And then, of course, Russia moving to put one of their own defense systems in Cuba, a lot closer to our borders. Going into Israel, they've long allied themselves with Georgia, trained the troops and supplied weapons to Georgia. Key figures in the Georgian government are Israeli citizens and partisans for Israel, including the Georgian, who directly launched the war. Defense Minister David, if I can pronounce this, Kesarashvili. The U.S. has been providing military and technical support, on the other hand, to Georgia for about 15 years. During that period, the overall amount of annual aid from Washington has increased by more than several hundred times, which means that Georgia's army was well prepared for an attack on South Ossetia. Back in 94, you know, they just got $63,000 under the program of the International Military Education and Training, IMET. The next year, they received $85,000, and then after that, it was $302,000, and then after that, it was several million. And then you get to the point where it does, in the end, look like it's about $1 billion. The Jewish state and some of the other private investors, and by the way, I have nothing against Jewish people, but their names are coming up over and over in this particular situation, and facts are facts. And because people are afraid of anti-Semitism, it's not going to stop some of us from saying they're clearly funding people to kill these other people, and we're seeing this in front of us. And also, on the topic of Jews, a lot of people in Israel are held hostage by their own government as well, and will likely be nuked later on by Russia as a result of decisions their country has made. And so let's be very clear that they're under a similar dictatorship than you and I are under. And it is a very bizarre feeling to report what I'm reporting now, knowing that I'm living in the bubble of the empire who's engaged in these war crimes, putting your life on the line, because a lot of us are, knowing about the martial law plans and the executive orders. We're just choosing for the moment to live without fear, because there's no going back at this point. I mean, they've literally lined the dynamite in the cabinet, ready to collect the insurance money, and we're being set up for a big, big fall. I do see the Chinese in the Northwest. I do live in a reality where we're being set up for being the breadbasket of the world and being slaves to other people. You know, it's history repeating itself. And an old man I bumped into the street asked me if I could see into the future. By responding, he added, because if you know history, you can predict the future. And that's something that a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know their history to begin with. I want to say, though, that on Sunday, Russian news agencies said that the Defense Ministry claims to have sunk a Georgian missile boat that was trying to attack Russian Navy ships in the Black Sea. On the same day, a large contingent of Georgia Army National Guard soldiers flew to the Republic of Georgia on Sunday for joint military exercises. Last week, Russian fighter jets entered Georgian airspace, and Georgia recalled its ambassador from Moscow. And so this has been ongoing. There were also reports about how they held drills
weeks before this actually took place on both sides of the border. Now on to Obama and McCain. McCain's foreign policy advisor, Randy Schuneman, was a lobbyist for Georgia. And then we also have Zbigniew Brzezinski, foreign policy advisor to Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama, who talks a little bit about change, but has a guy who wrote The Grand Chessboard, a book we all know about, written in 97, that talks about controlling Eurasia. So the aggression and the rhetoric is ramping up from Russia. Here's one. Top brass defends Russia's right to preemptive nuclear strike, saying our partners should clearly understand that the armed forces will be used, if necessary, to protect the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the Russian Federation and its allies, including on a preventative basis, using nuclear weapons. Now, according to Haaretz, a publication in Israel, a news publication, despite the fact we just told you that there's massive fleet, the biggest since 91, that's heading to the region, and Kuwait's on red alert right now, red alert. According to Haaretz, the American administration has rejected an Israeli request for military equipment and support that would improve their ability to attack Iran's nuclear facilities. A report published last week by the Washington-based Institute for Science and International Security states the military strikes are unlikely to destroy Iran's nuclear enrichment program. And so that's what we have right there. That's just one level of news. And in the terms of that last report, who's to say whether that's entirely accurate or not? As far as I can tell, the attack is moving on as planned. But if you take a look at the big picture, even if we don't have a war, what we do see is a lot of bankers that are making a lot of money through speculation by making people think that we're about to have a war or on the verge of it, and a lot of people freaking out trying to figure out where they're going to put their money. And Lindsey Williams stated that we would see a big plunge in the cost of oil between now and the election, where it would be thus at that point, at the election, crank back up to, you know, well beyond $200 a barrel, maybe $250 a barrel. For the purpose of ripping off the people that have speculated all this time, the people that are just constantly trying to follow the market, even they don't even know why the prices are going up and down. You know, here's the thing. The day that all this took place, when they invaded, the Dow was up 300 points. And that's an astronomical number while all oil is going down. So things aren't totally adding up. Here's a couple of fresh headlines that I'm just pulling right now before we end the show off blacklistthenews.com. And they're very good at keeping the latest news on their website. Neocons call for U.S. to launch war with Russia. The New York Times is reporting that. Russia's escalating its war with Georgia, moving tanks and troops to the separatist enclave of South Odessa and advancing towards the city of Gori in central Georgia and even bombing parts of the capital. In addition to that, we are seeing big moves to acquire U.S. steel by Russia. We just reported to you about 2 weeks ago that Russia now owns about 10% of U.S. steel. We're number one debtor nation, and they're completely now out of debt. So they're the ones internationally, even though they're a small country, walking around, strutting around with a barrel of chest, no longer the United States population that's being subjected to trails to the skies and genetically modified creatures being pumped into their body through the air and through the food. Honestly, there's a lot of really strange things happening right now. Oh, we never even got a chance to mention that a congressman in Arkansas was gunned down, a Democrat. Anybody remember his name? Nobody caught that one about the Democrat that got murdered? But yeah, pretty strange time. They usher in martial law in Arkansas. We have a congress member get murdered in Arkansas. They're building a high-tech surveillance grid in New York City. It's all insane. I'm still hedging my bets. I'll be here at least next week trying to bring you the data, the latest. But I don't know about a year from now. I don't know about 2 years from now. But I'll tell you what, go ahead and check out the next edition of Outside the Box. It'll be online sometime in a couple days. And we're going to have a rally sometime Friday afternoon in downtown Portland, trying to wake people up to the staging of World War III. And I will see you next Wednesday. All right, have a good one.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.